We continue our series on darkness. What do you do when things are hard? And I invite you today to open your Bibles, your electronic devices to the Gospel of John, to chapter 8, beginning in verse 39. Jesus is talking to the disciples here, and he's trying to prepare them for his death. Jesus has just told the disciples that you will not have me forever, and that I will die. And he's teaching them what it means to be true disciples. And you know, when Jesus talks about being a true disciple, sometimes people push back. Have you ever pushed back on the Lord? And they push back here, and Jesus starts to tell them about Father Abraham. You remember Father Abraham? I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, right foot, left foot, turn around, sit down. All right. We have some VBS goers here. Abraham, first known as Abram, is known as the father of the nations. And Abraham and Moses are considered the fathers of the faith. And Jesus is saying to them, if you were true disciples, then you wouldn't treat me as bad as you treat me. It's okay, you can say ouch. And they say back to Jesus, we are descendants of Abraham, so we are doing the right thing. And Jesus says back, if you were descendants of Abraham, you would do better. Verse 39, John chapter 8. They answered Jesus, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are indeed doing what your father does. They said to Jesus, we are not illegitimate children. We have one father, God himself. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now I am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot accept my word. You are from your father, the devil, and you choose to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is from God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not from God. The Jews answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it. And he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever keeps my word will never see death. And the Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? The prophets also died. Who do you claim to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, he of whom you say he is our God, though you do not know him. But I know him. If I would say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to Jesus, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out to the temple. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. You opened our eyes and helped us to see. Oh God, open our eyes and our hearts and our minds right now. Open our hearts and our minds and our eyes, because we have come expecting a word from you. We need to hear from you, oh God. So speak, for your servants are listening. And hide this your servant behind that old rugged cross, so that everything that is said and everything that is heard comes straight from you, oh God. This is your servant's prayer. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. While we've been studying darkness over these last few weeks, and as Pastor Chris and I have been preparing to teach this series, I have been observing darkness in a different way. Last night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, the dog barked because something was moving outside, and it woke me up. And I realized that it wasn't as dark as I thought it was. There was light coming in the window off the street lights. And there was a light on the television that was beaming, and a light on the cell phone charger that was glowing, and a light on the clock, and a light on the plugs, and a light, and a light, and a light, and a light. And we've been learning all of these things about how bad light is for you at night, and how much you need the darkness for your brain to regenerate and for all of these things to happen. And then I had to get up, and I was like, I'm not going to turn any lights on, because that triggers my brain. It thinks it's a new day. It's going to start over. So I had to get up, and I went in the hallway, and all of a sudden this light came on. Oh, I forgot the smoke detector turns on a light when it senses motion. But it startled me because I was expecting darkness. And the Lord began to speak to me about expecting darkness and needing darkness in our lives. Now, I can't tell you that I was disappointed that the light came on, but it startled me to the fact that I started thinking about why we need darkness and how we move through darkness when we need it, but are resistant to it. Did you hear in the scripture this morning? The teachers, when John talks about the Jews, John is not talking about all of the Israelites and all of the Jewish people. John is specifically talking about the leadership of the temple, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So when you read the phrase "the Jews" in the Gospel of John, know that the gospel writer is pointing to the leaders. And Jesus begins to talk to these leaders, and they are angry because Jesus seems to know more than they do. They feel absolutely in the dark. And for some people, being in darkness enrages them. They have to know everything. They have to see the next step. And if they can't see it or can't anticipate it, it makes them uncomfortable. And when we are uncomfortable, our fear comes out. And when our fear comes out, we often cover up our fear with rage. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch. It's okay. We don't want to be vulnerable. So we act like we're angry instead of allowing people to see our fear. And the same thing is happening here in the Gospel of John. They are angry because they are afraid. And Jesus says to them, "Why do you want to kill me? Why are you so angry that you want me gone?" And they say back to Jesus, "We are the descendants of Abraham. We are the ones who receive the inheritance. We are the ones who should be teaching. We are the ones that the people should be listening to. We are the ones who are in charge here, and you are interrupting how we do things." Have you seen that before? When somebody who thinks they are in power is usurped by somebody else, and then they try to harm that person. But who is Abraham? If we go back to the book of Genesis, we see that God calls Abram at that point and tells Abram to leave his home. He tells Abram, "Gather up your family, gather up your stuff, gather up your animals, gather up everything that belongs to you, and go to a place that I will show you." I'm sorry, what? It would be like saying, "Pack up your entire house, hitch it up to a U-Haul and your cars, and just start driving. I don't know which direction to go." But Abraham does this. He gathers up his entire family just because God said so. And he sets out just because God says so. And God says, as a part of this, Abram, I'm going to bless you, and your job is to bless my people. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to bless my people. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to bless my people. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to bless my people. And Abram is already pretty up in age. Let's put it like that. And Abram has no offspring. And God says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to give you more offspring than you can count. This God is pretty interesting. Right, Carol? Hey, get all your stuff together. Put it in a U-Haul. Get all your people together, not just the people who live in your house, but all your family. Get all those wayward cousins and put them somewhere too. And all y'all just start driving. And you're going to go somewhere. And I'm going to show you where that somewhere is, but I'm not going to tell you now. What would you say?
No.
Right. And then God continues and says, oh, and by the way, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be the father of all the nations, even though you and your wife are well past childbearing age, and your job is going to be to bless the people, and I'm going to bless you. I think I would have said, come again? What? But in the midst of this uncertainty, which is another biblical word for darkness, in the midst of this darkness, Abram does exactly what God says. Abram teaches us a lesson here. He says, in the darkness, in the uncertainty, in the hard times, the way to get through it is to do exactly what God says. Did you hear me this morning? Pastor, what do I do when things get hard? What do I do when life isn't how I expect it? What do I do when bad things happen? Trust the God who made you and do what God said do. So Abram gets on the road, and they go, and they go, and they go, and God changes his name to Abraham. And by this time, Abraham has, well, taken things into his own hands. God said he was going to make me the father of many nations, but I still don't have a son. So he gets with a slave and produces a son because, well, he's going to make happen what God said happen. Did you hear that? God, I know you said, so I'm going to force it on my end. And yet, he still has not realized the promise of God. And so Abraham is going back and forth with God about this. He's saying, you told me I was going to be the father of many nations, and now my entire line is going to come through a slave line, through Ishmael. And God, you said you were going to do this, and you said you were going to keep your promise, and that if I would just trust you, you were going to bless me, and I was going to bless the world. Darkness, uncertainty. And you know what God says to Abraham? He says, go outside. I'm sorry, what? He says, go outside. Go outside in the middle of the night, in the darkness, and look at the sky. And God says to him, your descendants will be as many as the stars, so count them if you can. Don't you love God's sense of humor? Don't you love the way that God says, I dare you to try to count all of the ways that I'm going to bless you right here and right now in the midst of the darkness that I have given you. What? God gave me darkness. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and you heard part of this last week, the very first line in Genesis chapter 1 says, before anything was created, there were two things that existed, darkness and chaos. And God removed the chaos, but God allowed the darkness to continue to exist. That means that God gave us darkness. So we must live in darkness to get some of the other things that God wants us to have. Everything is not going to be bright and shiny rainbows and butterflies all the time. That is not the way the world works. And that is not the way that God works. God gave darkness to Abraham. God gave darkness to Jacob when he's wrestling with him in the middle of the night. God gave darkness to Moses in the middle of the day when a cloud came and hung over him, and God was in the cloud and God was speaking directly to Moses, and God was speaking so forcefully that the people at the bottom of the mountain could see the darkness and they could hear the voice of God. We need darkness. We need it at night and we need it in the daytime, because that is where God is. And there are some things that can only be learned in darkness. And they are things that will carry us when nothing else will carry us. There's a word for this divine darkness. In Hebrew, it's Erephel. And it's only used in the presence of God. It is reserved. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book, Walking in the Dark, Learning to Walk in the Dark, she says that this Hebrew word is reserved for God's exclusive use. It is a thick darkness that reveals the presence of God even while obscuring it. The same way that brightness obscures God's glory. Did you hear that? Erephel is darkness that reveals that God is present with us and at the same time hides God's presence from us. So we are the ones who have to show up in the darkness. We are the ones who have to remember and trust and believe that God is with us in the darkness and the light, that God is at work whether we see God working or not. Yeah. In the Gospel of John, the Jews, the temple leaders, they tell Jesus, "We are the descendants of Abraham. We are the bearers of the inheritance. We are the ones who God speaks to. We are the chosen ones, and you are not." And Jesus says that if you were Abraham's children, you would act like Abraham. When we were growing up, there were just some things you didn't do in public. Because you were the children of Jackie and Rodney. And you better act like it when you were out the doors. You were a reflection of your parents. And you better act like it when you were in public. And Jesus is saying, if you are Abraham's children, if you are recipients of the blessings of God, you better act like it. And then they say, "Are you trying to tell us that we're not Abraham's children? We are not illegitimate. We know where we come from. We know who we are." And then Jesus gives a hard lesson for each of us through the temple leaders. He says, "If you were Abraham's children, I'd be able to tell it. Because you would know me, because I know Abraham. And even more than that, if you were Abraham's children, then you would be God's children. And if you were God's children, then you would know me, because children know their parents. They know the sound of their voice. They know how they walk. They know how they talk. They know their actions and their words. If you were indeed Abraham's children, then you would be God's children. And if you were God's children, I would be able to tell, because you would know and love me." This is an argument that has been going on for centuries. If you were church people, all right, I'm going to stop there. And Jesus goes further, which makes us uncomfortable. He says, not only if you were Abraham's children, you would be God's children. And if you were God's children, you would know me and you would love me and you would act like you were God's children. But beyond that, you are Satan's children. You are Satan's spawn. Because the love of God is not in you. He says, Satan was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies out of his own nature, because that is who he is. He lies because he is a liar. The father of all lies. But because I tell the truth, who is Jesus? The truth. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. So when did I sin? Because you're trying to kill me. And the only way that you could be legally killed in these days was because you sinned. So when did I sin? Whoever is from God hears the words of God. And the reason that you do not hear them is that you are not from God. Can't you see it? Can't you hear it? Of another generation, what you talking about, Willis? I know you didn't just call me Satan's spawn. And then they try to reflect it back on Jesus. They say, oh, so you must have a demon. Have you ever seen anybody reflect back themselves on somebody else? Oh, so you must be mean. Honey, you the one that's mean. Jesus says, I don't have a demon. And this is where we understand that there are two types of darkness. There is divine darkness where God is, and there is evil darkness that exists to keep you in the dark about the goodness of God. Did you hear that this morning? There is evil darkness that exists to keep you outside of God's will. It exists to keep you sick and tired. It exists to keep you depressed and angry. It exists to keep you from experiencing abundant life. And then there is divine darkness, God's darkness, that exists so that you might be stronger. As the psalm says, to go from strength to strength. It exists to show you how to keep moving when things are not easy. It exists how to show you that God is still God, that God is still on the throne, that God is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and that God is in it all. And you have a choice to make. Either God is your God and you can move through the divine darkness, or God is not and you live in evil darkness. It's your choice. There is no straddling the fence. Either you are with and of God or you are not. That's what Jesus is teaching us and the Pharisees and the Sadducees today. You don't get to pick. Just because you know the scriptures doesn't mean you live the scriptures. Satan knows them better than you do. I promise you. Just because somebody is saying the scriptures to you does not mean they mean well and are of God in your life. You have to practice discernment, and you can only practice discernment after you've been in divine darkness for a little while. Barbara Brown Taylor writes, when we run from darkness, how much do we really know about what we are running from? If we turn away from darkness on principle, doing everything we can to avoid it because there is simply no telling what it contains, isn't there a chance that what we are running from is God? Jesus said, here's the thing about Abraham. Your ancestor Abraham rejoiced and was glad when he saw the Lord. And they say to him, you are not 50 yet. Jesus was just barely 30, we think. But they say to him, you're not 50 yet. How can you know about Abraham? And Jesus said, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. What do you do when things aren't good? You better call on the name of I am. What do you do when things are not good? You better trust in I am. What do you do when things are not good? Remember the promises of God that have been made and see where they have been kept and hold on to that so that your faith is strengthened. What do you do when things are hard? Check yourself, because some of this stuff is self-inflicted in the name of Jesus. Check yourself and see if you're walking in the right kind of darkness or if you have slid over to the side that you don't quite want to be on. What do you do when things are hard? Expect Jesus. Remember that darkness always precedes light. God could have done away with the darkness, but did not. So that means we need it. And while we're in the divine darkness, we remember that we are there to learn some things. And we remember that because we are children of God, we are children of Abraham, and our entire purpose in the world is to get ourselves in a place where we can receive the blessing of God so that we can bless other people. For God. Amen. Divine darkness will get you through the hard stuff. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open our eyes. Let us see beauty that made this heart adore you. All for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. And we'll never know how much it cost to see our sin upon that cross. But the darkness will see us through. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.